The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m., and if you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
I want to introduce my buddy, Bob Rouse. He needs no introduction, as they say. But the one who was always beside him and doesn't get a whole lot of acclaim because she likes to hide in the shadows is his wife. And Denise is just a dear friend of me, as Bob is. And she's been faithful to her husband. She's a minister of the gospel. She's just a great gal, and we're so glad to have her with him. And I know, Denise, you hide in the shadows like so many ministers' wives, but if it wasn't for you, Bob couldn't do what he does. Because I know you support him and you're there for him and encourage him. And having been in ministry for a long time like Bob, he's a missionary for over 20 years in Europe. There are dark days in ministry. There are some hard days. And it's the wife that you go to in the evening that nobody else knows the secrets of, and who gets you going again, gets you a little top spinning again. So, Denise, thank you for your ministry, not only to Bob, but to our community. So with that said and done, Bob, thank you for the $20, and you can come and share the word now.
Love you. Thank you. Thank you. It's wonderful to be with you again, and I can do nothing but echo Mara's sentiments about Denise. People said, what are you going to do when you get old? I said, I don't know. I'm already in assisted living, so I don't know what's... I don't really know what's next for us. So. And, of course, our daughter Annie, who is a blessing in so many ways. She sees needs before they become apparent, and she meets them in just an outstanding way. And I'm blessed to have just a wonderful family that we stick together. We take care of each other. Amen. The sermon title for today is You Are a Chosen One. You are a chosen one. We're going to revisit some of this probably missionary story, and if you heard it before, just bear with me for the story, because the story is not the important part. The important part is what God did through us and with us at a point in time. I was encouraged earlier this week when I was preparing the message. Denise handed me an email that I had printed out for her in January from, I think it was James Barron. And James had sent it to Morris, and Morris had passed it on, and I had forgotten totally about it. I did not even remember. She said, did you read that thing that you sent me? What? And it was from January. And it was an awesome, awesome discussion about the relevance of what we're doing. And he quoted in there a little bit of scripture from Colossians chapter 2, and this is really my heart. And it's not the message for the day, but it is one of the things that sets the tone for what I'm thinking and where we're going. And from the message in Colossians 2, verses 6 to 7, it says, my counsel for you is simple and straightforward. Just go ahead with what you've been given. You receive Christ Jesus the Master. Now live in Him. Now live Him. Not live in Him. Live Him. You're deeply rooted in Him. I think this speaks to us. I know most of you who are here today. In fact, I think I know all of you who are here today. And I would say the scripture's true. You are deeply rooted in Him. You're well constructed upon Him. You know your way around the faith. Now do what you've been taught. School's out. Quit studying the subject and start living it. And let your living spill over into Thanksgiving. Folks, it's time for us to get up and to do something. It's time for us to be out in the community doing what Christ called us to do, that His name may be known. The National Day of Prayer is one of those things on Thursday. Some years ago when we got involved, it was a modest attempt. And each year it's gotten bigger and bigger as we've been able to get the word out and involve more people, encourage more people to come. School's out, folks. Time to get busy. Time to start living the gospel, and that's what we're going to talk about, is what's the framework? What does it look like? How does it look? 25 years ago, Denise and I needed to hear from God in the worst way. We were in the process of trying to understand what God had spoken to our hearts about Albania. We were evaluating our options. Where do you go? What do you do? I had a good business, taking care of my family and doing some fun things along the way. We had good ministry at the church we were attending. We had a place of responsibility and a place of honor, and we took it seriously, and we were glad to be there doing that along with Morris and Pat in those days. But God was calling us to leave Slidell with our son, who was 8 years old at the time, and our daughter, who was at six at one time. She's no longer six anymore, but she's grown up into a fine young lady. And God was calling us, we thought, to move halfway around the world to serve the Albanian peoples. Our family has something to say about this. Wasn't all positive. What are you doing? You got great kids. You're going to take them to a place with no educational system, with no medical care, with no support system? Have you lost your mind? That was some of the kind things they said. There were friends who thought we had really lost our mind and were somewhat nonplussed by the fact that we would go and do this. One family said he thought we'd misheard God, that we were supposed to be going to Albany, New York, not Albania. And he tried to teach me how to speak Albanian, so I started calling everybody, "Hey, you guys." Another friend thought perhaps somebody sitting here thought maybe we were supposed to go to Alabama. So, you know, we were really praying. People that we loved and trusted and who had our best interest at heart were saying Albany, New York, Albania. And we thought God was saying Albania halfway around the world. We really felt like we were in something of a place of limbo. We were kind of swimming around in a sea of uncertainty. What do we do? What do we do? Do we walk away from the known to go to the unknown? And it reminded me of something that Brandon said last week. Brandon and his message, excellent message. If you missed it, listen to it online. It was an excellent, excellent message. And he talked about the difference between commitment and certainty. We'll never, never be certain about everything, but we're never to doubt our commitment to Christ. And this was where we were. We had a lot of uncertainty. We just wasn't sure. Here, there, elsewhere, somewhere else, doing something else. But we had a certainty in our life, and that Jesus Christ was the Lord of our life. One morning, Denise and I were studying our scriptures together. We're studying our scriptures in the same house, but not together. And the Lord called us to the same place in the New Testament, in the book of John. It's the place in the book of John where Jesus is talking about the gardener, the vine, the branches, and the fruit. And normally when we talk about this in John 15, what we talk about is the branches and the vine, the branches and the vine. But there's more to it than that. And this was the scripture that I was reading, and I must dwell on this for just a minute because I want to set the stage for verse 16. You are chosen. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I called you. I anointed you. I appointed you. I planted you that you may go and bear fruit, much fruit that will last. But to understand the fullness of what was said in verse 16, you have to go back and look at verses 1 through 15. And we'll take a minute and do that with you this morning. Verse 15, chapter 15 says, "I am the true vine, and the Father is the gardener." The very first words out of Jesus' mouth defines that he, Jesus Christ, is the vine, and the Father is the gardener. You know, it's the gardener, and I know Brother Tommy knows this, because the gardener decides, what am I going to place in my garden? Zucchini? Tomatoes? What are you going to place in your garden? It's the gardener who decides. And the amazing thing is that when the gardener decides this, he puts this little skinny vine in the ground. And how does it know? How does a zucchini know it's supposed to grow zucchini? It's a stick. You stuck a stick in the ground and it grows up. And one of the sticks I put in the ground at my house grew lemons. Another stick I stuck in the ground grows white grapes, and another one red grapes. Another one I stuck in the ground grows figs. How does it know? Because the gardener goes out and he finds the plant that he wants to plant in the ground. Jesus is that vine that we're talking about. Jesus is the gardener picked Jesus and he said, "This is the vehicle that I will use to produce fruit." The vine was put there by the gardener because the gardener wanted a certain result. The interesting thing that the vine can only produce what the vine can produce. You can't put it in there, no matter how much you talk to it and how you twist it, you can't make that vine do something it wasn't designed to do. The vine that God the Father, the gardener, gave us was the vine of Jesus. It's the vine of hope. It's the vine of that we can be dependent upon. Every resource is in that vine. Every resource that goes to produce fruit comes through the vine. It doesn't come from somewhere else. There's nothing else you need to add to it. The vine is the total and complete source of our life. If we're born again in Christ, we got nowhere else. And I don't know, the Holy Spirit must have been speaking to you, brother, when you picked out the songs this morning, because that was what we were... You think he did? I think he did. I think he did for sure. Because it was commitment. It was, we're a part of. We can't operate separate from. That vine knows how to gain the resources it needs from the earth. That vine sends out roots through the earth, and it pulls in what it needs to be able to sustain life. That vine is life itself to all that's there. Amen? Amen. The gardener, let's look at the gardener. The gardener decided what would be planted. He decided before the beginning of time what we would need. And the gardener took that vine and he plants it in a place that needs Jesus. He plants it in a place where the Jesus is not there. Verse 5, he says, "I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit." You know, there's some place in Scripture where it talks about being grafted into the vine. And Scripture says it, and I believe it, and under certain circumstances we can do that. But you know what? We're not a hybrid. When we're born again in Christ, we are a new creation. We are new from the inside out. The old man is gone and the new man lives. When you look at the little vine, that little stick that you put in the ground, the first thing you see is a little bud coming out of the vine. And then that branch begins to grow. It begins to go this way and that way. It comes out of the ground. The branches are dependent upon the vine. The branch cannot decide. I put a red grape stick in the ground. It can't decide. I think I'm going to do figs this year. I know Bob and Denise like figs. And if you have a fig tree, make a note of that. I know Bob and Denise like figs. I think this year we're going to change things up a little bit. Forget the red grapes, says the branch. We're going to do a fig. Doesn't work that way. Because we as the branches, you know, the stick that's in the ground, the vine... Does the fruit come off the vine, the basic vine? No. It comes off the new growth. It comes off the new wood. It comes off of something that wasn't there before. It takes all of its sustenance from the vine. It's only the new wood that produces fruit. And we're the branches. It can be that we're grafted in, but I would rather believe in what we talked about this morning, that we are these born-again creatures. Yes. That we are born-again creatures totally and completely dependent upon the vine, because it says you will bear much fruit. He says, apart from me, you can't do anything. You cut that vine off and throw it on the ground, and what happens to it? It dies. It does not serve its intended purpose. Maybe you can use it for something else. Like what, Bob? Well, how about for the fire? How about for the fire? I don't want to get too theological here. I'll save the theological stuff for Pastor Morris, who knows all that.
Oh, sure.
But it says that the vines that do not produce are cut off and thrown into the fire. And I don't want to go down a road that says if you don't produce the fruit that God required, asked you to produce in your life, that you're not saved. I'll let Morris figure that out. But I do want to say that kind of thinking makes us look to see where's the edge. How close can I get to the edge? How much of a red grape can I not be and still be part of the vine? You know what I'm saying? How close can I get to the edge before I'm disqualified? How much can I live for the world and not for Jesus and receive the fruit that he has in my life? How close can I get? I don't even want to think that. I don't want to know where the line is. I don't want to do anything but be tied in to Jesus and who he is. Is that not the picture of the vine? When you look at the vine, if you look real close, Tommy, you know this. If you look real close when you're going down here, it's hard to tell where the vine stops and the branch begins, isn't it? You can say, well, this is the transition area. This is branch. This is vine. But this area here, they're one. They're one and the same. You cannot separate the vine from the branches and expect to have any good result. It has to be, it is all 100% Jesus. And all of this, the fruit that it produces, he said, this is to my Father's glory. At the end of this passage in verse 8, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. To the Father's glory, to the gardener. Wait, the gardener, Tommy grows a beautiful garden each year. When you stand back and look at it, you see these beautiful, lush, and green things because the gardener takes care of it. The gardener nurtures it. And the gardener stands back and he's able to take the credit. I planted the seeds. I watered it. I made it happen. And here's the produce of that. And he shares it. Oh, you're reading my notes. You want to go ahead and take that one? Go ahead and run it. He shares it because the fruit, well, let's go there. Let's go ahead and go. That's a good place to be. Well, let me finish this up. The vine is our lifeline and the source of everything. The branch does not produce fruit if it's pruned. Branches will have no choice of will, nature of the fruit. The nature of the fruit we are bearing is the nature of the vine. When things happen in our life, when good things happen and we're able to be a blessing in somebody's life, it's to God be the glory. He gets the credit. He gets the glory. What are you? You're a branch. Okay? You're just a branch. Sometimes, dear branch, before I get off of you, sometimes you need to be pruned a little bit. Sometimes you get a little lazy. And sometimes if you're not pruned, you won't produce all the fruit you're supposed to produce. Is that true? One of the things on tomato bushes is them old suckers. Okay, tomato bushes, they grow beautiful, they grow, and you stand back and you look a ways back, and you say, boy, that's a beautiful bush. But you get up close and you find out, and this is how it works, you got the tomato vine coming up, you got a branch coming off, and before you know it, right there between the vine and the branch is what we call a sucker. And that sucker is not going to give you anything but grief. Because it's going to steal the stuff coming out of the vine, going into the branch, so you don't produce as much fruit. So what do you got to do? Pinch them off. You got to pinch those suckers off if you're going to have a full produce. Sometimes God finds the need to pinch us off a little bit. Sometimes we reach our hand out and touch something and say, oh, it's hot. I'm not going there again. Hopefully we're smart enough to learn the first time. But he's faithful. He will prune us. He will help us. He'll direct us. He doesn't let us grow wild. You know, these branches come out and the suckers come out and everything grows wild. And said, boy, that's a nice looking forest. But you get up close and you find out not producing any fruit. The gardener does not let us go wild. He gives us direction. He gives us honor. He gives us places. He allows, this is wild. I'm still getting over this. He allows signs and wonders to be worked through our hands. You've prayed for sick people. You've laid your hands on sick people and see them get better. You've done things that God's called you to do, and when you did, it got better, and he gets the glory. But he allows that to happen through us. Okay, let's move on. What does that fruit look like? Well, if you read the chapter, you said, okay, he's talking about the vine and the gardener. That's good. Then he talks about the garden and the branches. And all of a sudden, he's talking about something else. I believe he's talking about the fruit. It's the nature and the shape and the color of the fruit. Beginning in verse 9, and I think I'll read this. It's from the message. I'll go ahead and read it to you. So in 1, he said, I've loved you the way my Father has loved me. Make yourself home in my love. Being a part of that vine, get comfortable being a part of the vine. You're in a special place. If you keep my commandments, you'll remain intimately at home in my love. We're describing what this fruit looks like. We're describing, I believe, what this vine is in the process of producing. Jesus said, that's what I did. Kept my Father's commands and made myself home in his love. I've told you these things for a purpose, he said. You're going to love this. That my joy might be your joy, and your joy wholly mature. Have you done things for God that just tickled you to no end? Have you been able to speak a word of life into somebody's life? And all of a sudden, rising up inside of you is an unspeakable joy, just a feeling like, I'm in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing. The lights came on in their eyes. This is what happened to them. It's the joy of the Lord. This is the joy of the Lord. It's our benefit to our benefit. Jesus says, listen, when you bear fruit, you're going to be happy. You're going to be whole. You're going to be at peace. When your life is bearing fruit. He said, this is my command to love one another. And then he says, this is the very best way to love. Put your life on the line for your friends. I've always read that scripture in a different translation that says, this is the perfect love when you lay down your life for your friend. And I thought, this must be Jesus saying, I have perfect love for you because I laid down my life for you. And I just kept on rocking and rolling. But I think there's more than that there. I think what I just said is absolutely true. He laid down his life for us. The ultimate act of love was Jesus dying for your sins and mine. No doubt about it. But he's calling us to lay down our lives for others. What does that mean? Do we need to die for other people? No, there's no purpose in that. Jesus died for us, and that was necessary. But we're to live for other people. We're to look for opportunities to bless other people. Like that scripture said, school's out, folks. Get busy doing something. And what is it that we're to do? Take this wonderful gift that grows on the vine, that grows on the branches, and pass it on. Love other people. How do you do that? You get involved with people's lives. If the only people we talk to are each other, we're doing a good thing because we're supposed to encourage each other and help each other and walk through life with each other. Rowan and Becky preparing each week to come and to play music for us, that takes time. It takes preparation. They're sacrificing, doing something else so that they can be here on Sunday morning to worship with us. There are things that you do, There are things that you do in your life to bless other people. But you know what? That is the fruit of our life. That's where we get our joy from. I want to encourage you to find people. I didn't count the chairs this morning, but there's a couple of empty ones still here. I want to see them filled up. And I don't want to send out a mailing to do it. I don't want to advertise on the radio to do it. I don't want to advertise on the TV to do it. I don't want to do anything other than you love people. And people see in you something special and say, where do you get that from? I get that from the house of the Lord. Come with me. I want us, each one of us, to be diligent in inviting people out of the streets and the hedges and the byways to come into the house of the Lord. Look for opportunities. It's not a matter of saying, not somebody knocking on your door, how often does this happen to you? Knock on your door and says, look, we've been looking for a church. Do you have any idea whether it's a good one? Have you found that happening? It ain't happening to me. We went halfway around the world for the opportunity to be able to do that. Listen, when the Father sent us to Albania, He found a place where there were no vines of Jesus' love. It was a completely atheistic country. It was a country that by law, if you believed that God existed, you went to jail. I know you've heard me say that before. And God said, I want to plant a Jesus vine there. Well, we went, as you know. We spent 22 years on the missionary field. 10 of that was in Albania. And this month, or May, next month, they'll be celebrating the 25th anniversary of the church that we started. And to God be the glory. The Jesus vine that was planted in Albania began to grow fruit. At some point, we were pruned off of that vine and replanted in another place. And that place was back in Slidell. But yet the vine was planted, and it continued to produce new branches and new wood and new fruit. And it was the branches and the wood and the fruit that caused that church to continue to grow. It continues to be one of the biggest churches in Albania. It continues to be one of the most influential churches in that part of the world because God planted the Jesus vine. The gardener went to a place that was desolate, a place that had nothing, and he put the Jesus vine there. And we were able to fulfill one of St. Paul's great ambitions in life. He said, it has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where he was never known, so that we would not be building on somebody else's foundation. God gave us the absolute privilege, what a privilege, to be able to teach people for the first time about Jesus. To be able to take the fruit of that branch, the fruit that separated me from you, the fruit that separated us from my family for a long time, to be able to come back into your presence today and said, to God be the glory. Amen. To God be the glory for all that we say and do. With this understanding about the gardener, his role, the vine, Jesus, the branches, you and me, the living part, the live part, about the fruit, which is to love your neighbor as yourself and to get out and do something about it. Act. It's not a passive place. With this understanding in my mind as we were reading the scriptures that day, we came upon another scripture, verse 16. And it says, you didn't choose me. As though I thought we were God, what are we going to choose? Are we going to Albania? Or are we going to stay here? What's your plan for our life? Like we're getting ready to pick something off the shelf of God's store. Well, I think, let's see, I think I want to be one of those. No, I think. God says, you didn't pick me. He said, I chose you. I called you, I anointed you, I appointed you, I ordained you that you may go and bear fruit, much fruit that will last. And what is the fruit? The love of God. The love of the vine, the love of Jesus Christ, that's what the fruit is. And the Amplified Version, it says, you've not chosen me, but I have chosen you. I have appointed and placed and purposely planted. Purposely planted. You're not here by accident. You're here because God said to be here. God says, I chose you and I purposely planted you so that you would go, and bear fruit and keep on bearing the fruit that will remain and be long-lasting. Our work of 25 years ago is beginning to mature today. Kids who were in the youth group are now leaders in the church. People in the church have gone off to study in seminary and to pastor churches in other places. From those simple beginnings, God has done something. There were others who were better prepared than us. There were others who had gifts and that surpassed ours in teaching and preaching. But you know what? Didn't make a bit of difference. Did not make a bit of difference because the scripture says, I chose you. I called you just the way you are, just the way you look, the way you talk, the way you act, the things that you know, the experiences that you've had, the family that you put around you, that I've put around you. He said, I need that particular combination to go there. And may the church that we planted 25 years ago will celebrate its 25th anniversary. It continues to grow and reproducing itself and planting other churches. The garden has been faithful to allow other newer and stronger and more vibrant branches to bear fruit, much fruit that would last. The people of Albania, if you ask them, could probably not tell you about one sermon that I preached. And I preached three times a week for many years. They probably couldn't tell you one. But you know what they can tell you? He loved us. He hugged us. He shook my hand. He baptized me. He married my children when the time came. He buried our dead and showed the love and compassion of Christ. That they will remember. That, friends, is the fruit of the vine. The preaching and the teaching, it's all a good thing. Take nothing from it. We need to be continually edified and encouraged. But let me tell you what. It's the love that sticks. It's the love that sticks, and you can't manufacture it. That if you take that branch away from the vine and say, well, I'm going to produce my own love, it's not going to stick. Because that branch will not survive. But when you teach people, because what does the fruit of the vine do? It has seeds. And what happens to those seeds, Tommy? They reproduce. Those seeds that come from the vine from the branch that's connected to the vine that's tended by the gardener, those seeds will reproduce wherever they're planted. It does not become our responsibility to nurture those seeds forever. Our responsibility is to produce the fruit. To love people and to care for people and to do the best we can. To be the Good Samaritan. Not only was the Good Samaritan day on day one and says, I can't believe that everybody's passing this guy up. Let me take him and let me care for him and put him over here. And he said, if you don't have enough money, he said, I'll give you some money. If you don't have enough, I'll be back in a couple of days. I'll check on him and make sure he's taken care of. That's the kind of love that grows on this vine. It was an exciting time and our privilege to be in Albania to see the growth. But you know, old people like to tell old stories. And that's an old story. The words for today. That was then. This is now. And I would tell you that the gardener is still planting his garden. The gardener is still tending his garden. And you and I, if you choose to be, are living branches connected to the vine. If you choose to be, you're producing fruit. For us, our geography's changed. We're retired from that work in Albania in a foreign land. But we're still branches. And we're still tapped into the strength and the vigor of the vine and under the care of the gardener. Many things have changed in our life in 25 years. But not the call of the master. but not the work of the gardener, not the strength and the fervent of the vine. It is my place and yours to continue to bear fruit. Sitting on the bench on the sidelines, you might not have noticed, but we don't have any benches on the side of this church. Neither do we have any rocking chairs. I like a rocking chair. I love it on the front porch. When I was a little boy and we went up to the farm to visit the family, we sit on the rocking chairs on the porch and wait for the Greyhound bus to pass. Ain't no rocking chairs in this church. There's no benches on the sideline. There's no back seat. Everybody is sitting in the front seat, because that's where the Master called us to be. Where did I get this from? Titus. In Titus chapter 2, and I'll just touch it briefly, Paul has given Titus one of the three pastoral letters that Paul wrote. And he said, teach the older men. There's something for the older guys. There's something for those of us who are over 39 to be able to do. He said, teach the older guys to be temperate, worthy of self-respect, self-control, sound in faith and love and endurance. There's something for our oldest people. And then he went on to say, teach the older women. Now, I wouldn't say there are any older women here today, because I know better. But if you know one, pass this on to them. Teach the older women to be reverent in ways that they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Tell them old girls to do that. Then they can urge the younger women, that's y'all, to love their husbands and the children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy about home, to be kind and subject to their husbands so that no one will malign the word of God. Similarly, and I love this one. I love this one completely. Tell the young men to be self-controlled. That's it. That's all you got to tell the young guys. Control yourself. You're making me nuts. The women have a long grocery list of things to do. The guys, control yourself, will you? Behave yourself. And everything, set them an example by do what's good. And your teaching, show integrity. In other words, let what you're doing and what you're saying be the same thing. Seriousness. We can joke, we can laugh. We can enjoy the joy of the Lord together, but you know what? Dead serious about what we're talking about today. Get busy and do something. And soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. Isn't that great? That the people around us, because they see Christ in us, you're as snarly a scoundrel as I am. I know who you are. But that's not what people see. We want them to see the Christ who lives within us. So they have nothing bad to say about us. Scripture tells us to never stop bearing the fruit of love. Jesus tells us that you're to give yourself to one another in love. Don't just sit there and be pretty. Do something about it. We need to be active in our lives for letting this love be shown and be known by others. Again, there's no rocking chairs, no sideline benches, no back seats. It's only frontline warriors actively loving our fellow man and proclaiming the precious gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Yes. The word says, you didn't choose me. He said, I chose you and put you in the world. I planted you in just the place that I wanted you to be to bear fruit. What is that fruit? The love of Christ. And that, my friends, is the fruit that won't spoil. Amen? Yeah. Let's pray together and let the Lord help us with this message. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, that we can better understand that you're the gardener and you're the vine, and that all we are and truly everything that we are the branches. And it's through those branches, through the living wood, through the fresh wood, Lord, that your fruit can be made known. And so that fruit too, Lord, can reproduce other vines and other branches for the sake of your gospel. Father, I pray that you speak to each heart here today. Lord, let this not just be one more cute teaching. Lord, but let this be something that's life-changing. Lord, help us to deal with the uncertainty of our lives and to be firm in our commitment to you. Lord, we love you so much, and we're so grateful for the opportunity to be in your presence with your people. We love you, Lord. We ask your blessing. We need your help. We need your help. Us old branches can't get along too good, Lord, without a full restoration from the vine. We need you, Lord. Be with us now and make this word count. In Jesus' name, amen.